Turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. If you don't have a Bible, we have pew Bibles in the racks in the seats in front of you. You can find Proverbs chapter 1 on page 527. If you don't have a Bible, we want to invite you to take that Bible home and read it. Keep it as your own, as a gift from us. If you're visiting with us, my name is Will. I'm one of the pastors here. And today in Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to be beginning a new series in the book of Proverbs. Pastor Donald will continue to preach through the Gospel of John, but as I have the privilege to preach, and Mark and maybe others, we'll be in the book of Proverbs. And so today is the first sermon in that ongoing series. IKEA furniture is notorious for being incredibly complex to put together. You know this. If you haven't put together IKEA furniture, maybe you've ordered something from Amazon, you open the box, and pieces, screws are everywhere. On more than one occasion, I've attempted to put together IKEA furniture, taken it apart, put it back together again, taken it apart again, put it back together again, until Hannah comes in the room and says, "Have you read the instructions?" "No, that's probably a good idea. It's foolish of me to think that I can put together IKEA furniture without the instruction manual that was given to me by IKEA, the maker of the furniture." Church family, hear this clearly as we begin the journey through the book of Proverbs. You will only live wisely in this world when you fear the creator of it. God is an instruction manual for your life, and when you reject it, whether blatantly or subtly, it's likely that things won't go well for you in the world that God has created. This is what the book of Proverbs is about: practical skills for living wisely in God's world. But remember, if you're a note taker, write this down. You will only live wisely in this world when you fear the creator of it. And with this main point in mind, we're going to answer three questions from the text this morning. Number one, who wrote the Proverbs? Number two, what is the purpose of the Proverbs? And number three, how do we read the Proverbs? Number one, who wrote the Proverbs? Number two, what is the purpose of the Proverbs? Number three, how do we read the Proverbs? Each of these questions is answered in the introduction text. It's tempting to read introductions to books of the Bible and skip over them, think that they're not important. But introductions are important, especially the introduction to the book of Proverbs. And so join me as I read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instructions in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's pray. Father, your word alone provides the wisdom that we need to live wisely in this world. This life is complex, with challenges that we have to navigate on a daily basis. It's hard to live in this world, but Father, we praise you that you've given us wisdom. And Father, as we look at your word today, I pray that you would help us to know how we can obtain wisdom in this world. Father, I need wisdom as I preach today. And so by your grace, give that to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, who wrote the Proverbs? Well, verse one tells us, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." First point is simple. Verse one tells us that what we're about to read is written by Solomon. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, this is a really good thing, isn't it? Because Solomon, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 3, prays for wisdom, and the Lord answered that prayer. After asking for wisdom, we read this in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. You don't have to turn there, just listen. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself a long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. And so God answers Solomon's prayer by giving him a wise and discerning mind for how to live in this world, much of which is written down for us today. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, we read that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, 3,000 wise sayings, many of which are right here in this book that we have. The wisest, the most knowledgeable man in the world is inspired by God to write the Proverbs. We can trust that this book is going to give us the skills that we need to live wisely in God's world. Which leads to point number two. What is the purpose of the Proverbs? Verses 2 through 6 give us several different purpose statements. You'll notice them one after the other. Solomon is writing the Proverbs for this purpose and that purpose and this purpose and that purpose. And so what we're going to do is just walk through those together right now. Let's look at the first one in verse 2. The first purpose statement goes like this: to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. And so, big picture, the purpose of this book is to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, that we'd be able to navigate through the difficulties and make skilled decisions in life. This is the most straightforward, I would say, of these purpose statements that we find in verses 2 through 6, that we would know wisdom, instruction, and understand words of insight. You and I are constantly praying for wisdom. We're constantly asking others for wisdom and instruction. How do I parent my children? How do I communicate well with my spouse? Should I change careers? Where should I go to college? Where should I go after college? How should I use the money that God has entrusted to me? How should I use my retirement? We're constantly asking these questions and praying for wisdom in these different areas. In all these situations, I think that we could all agree that we desire to know wisdom. We desire to know what is best and God-honoring. Two different commentators define wisdom like this: wisdom is the skill of living in God's world. And so we all want to be skilled. We all want to be skilled and knowledgeable as to how to live in the world that God has created. Proverbs is not written to simply keep you out of trouble. It's not simply written to make decisions, but instead, to know wisdom and to ultimately know the God of all wisdom, as it says in Romans 16. How foolish of us to think that we can often chart our own paths when the God of all wisdom has given us everything we need. Church family, don't assemble the IKEA furniture without going to IKEA for the instructions. Don't attempt to chart your own path without going to the God of all wisdom for the instructions and how to live a skilled life in his world. Let's move on to verse 3. We'll find another purpose statement, but before we do, you'll notice that there's going to be a bit of overlap here in verses 2 through 6, a little bit of repetition in some of these purpose statements. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to call this the rainbow of wisdom, okay? Here's what I mean by that. Think of it this way. You have one beam of light, okay? That beam of light, we will say, is wisdom. But when a beam of light hits a prism, what happens? You see a rainbow. And so in this case, those different colors that we see in this beam of light of wisdom are instruction, wise dealing, prudence, knowledge, etc. Derek Kidner, he's a commentator, he puts it this way: the book of Proverbs opens by breaking up the plain daylight of wisdom into a rainbow of colors. These all shade into one another. Any of them can be used to represent the whole. And yet there is some value in seeing them analyzed individually and grouped together. And so big picture, the Proverbs are written so that you would be wise in this world and know how to live wisely in this world. But consider the individual statements, which is what we're doing now as we go through verses 2 through 6. Consider those, and those will help you unpack what wisdom looks like. So let's keep going to verse 3. Another purpose is to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. The wisdom of God is very practical for you, very practical for me. You want to manage what God has given you well? You want to be a God-honoring businessman? You want to be a faithful husband? You want to be a faithful wife, mom, dad, brother, sister, son, daughter? You want to be a good friend? Well, the Proverbs gives you instruction for that. And so when you read to receive instruction for wise dealing, think the Proverbs are incredibly practical for me, giving me God-honoring skills for my relationships and for my interactions, for the way that you manage your money, your household, the way you work. The Proverbs help you with that. The Proverbs also provide instruction for morality and for godly living, righteousness, justice, equity. These are all biblical themes. We want to do what's honoring to the Lord. We want to do what is right and helpful for other people. We want to love God. We want to love neighbor. I was just reading this week in my personal devotions in Genesis, and this theme of righteousness and justice came up just at the very beginning in the book of Genesis. In particular, this example was God speaking to Abraham, and he's talking to him about the many descendants that he's going to give him, and he says that he chooses Abraham to teach his many descendants to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Okay, so Abraham was to teach his descendants by doing what is right and just. We know that God himself always does what is right and just. And that's ultimately where we go. And the Proverbs are written to help us define what that is and what that means for us. Proverbs 28:5 says, "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely." So you want to understand justice? You want to understand what is right? Fear the Lord. Seek the Lord, the God of all wisdom, the one who is perfectly just and perfectly right in every way. God is perfectly righteous, just, and fair, and understanding of who he is and what his word teaches helps us live righteous lives and to be wise in our dealings with other people. Let's keep going. Verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. I needed verse 4. I was encouraged when I read verse 4 because it makes it clear that wisdom is not far off and distant, only accessible to the most intelligent seminary professor, not only accessible to Solomon himself. No, it's obtainable to someone like me and someone like you. The Proverbs give prudence to the simple, meaning that the most simply educated person in this room can read the Proverbs, fear the Lord, and know how to live wisely in God's world better than the most educated person in the room who doesn't. You might not be one that's going on to pursue a higher education. That's totally okay. But do go on to study the Proverbs. Do go on to receive good, wise instruction from God's word. If you feel simple, if you feel discouraged by that, you think, I don't have much of an education. I don't know how much I can actually learn. I don't know how much I can actually understand. I don't know how much I have to offer other people. I want you to consider this verse. To make wise the simple. The Proverbs were written for that. God's wisdom can make you wise even if you feel like a simple man or simple woman. Also consider the disciples, specifically Peter and John. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, Peter and John are standing before a Supreme Court council, probably very highly educated people. They're making a defense because they healed a lame man. But yet they stand, these simple fishermen, these common fishermen, stand before this educated Supreme Court counsel, and they stand there boldly proclaiming the power of the gospel within them. And listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and how the Supreme Court counsel responds. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and recognized that they had been with Jesus." The source of Peter and John's boldness and ability to wisely communicate before this council is not their education, but rather the fact that they had been with Jesus. The one who can make the wise simple. No matter how uneducated or simple that you feel you are, remember that education isn't a prerequisite for godly wisdom, but fearing the Lord is. Education is not a prerequisite for godly wisdom, but for fearing the Lord is. The most uneducated person in this room could be the most God-fearing and wisest person in this room. And it's good for us to remember that. We all have different strengths. So if you are highly educated, praise God for that. We need you as well, and you too can be wise if you fear the Lord. But remember this truth. Education isn't a prerequisite for godly wisdom, but fearing the Lord is. Kids and students in the room, this verse speaks specifically to you as well. The Proverbs are also written for you so that you would have knowledge, wisdom, and discretion. That's what it tells us here in verse 4, meaning that the book of Proverbs will equip you to handle the tricky situations that you go through as kids and students. Look up here for a moment, kids. Verse 4 makes it clear that you should read the Proverbs too. That you should study them. That you should ask your parents to read them to you. Because when the kid at school says something unkind to you, you know how to respond in a wise and loving way. When your sibling aggravates you, you know how to honor the Lord. The Proverbs are for you too. I was reading a commentary this week, first published in 1846, so not long after Abner Creek was founded. And the author, Charles Bridges, says this: "Our young are growing up in a period when the foundations of the earth are out of course, and when subtle and restless efforts are making to poison their hearts and pervert their ways." If this can be said in 1846, when the kids at our church were carrying buckets to fill the baptistry and probably playing stickball in the yard, we can certainly say that about our time today. We can certainly say that things are out of course, that a sinful world is trying to poison your life, kids and students, with foolish lies. Students, when your parents give you life instruction, the Proverbs tell you not to reject it because that instruction is what's best for you. Don't listen to the world and the foolish lies that the world presents to you, but listen to your parents who fear the Lord. As for parents, be committed to teaching the Bible to your kids at home to defang the poison of the world. Let's keep going. Verse 5. "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." The Proverbs aren't just for the simple, the Proverbs aren't just for the youth, but the Proverbs are also for the wise. The most mature, wise Christian in the room needs to submit themselves to the teaching of the Proverbs. Which leads me to ask the question, are you teachable? Are you willing to be taught? One of the purposes of the Proverbs is that no matter where you are in your life stage, spiritual walk, you would be teachable and be willing to increase in learning. There's never a time in your Christian life, whether old or whether young, when you've graduated from the school of wise living. Every day of your life throws you new curveballs with new challenges, no matter what your life stage is. And you need the God of all wisdom to teach you and instruct you through that. Note that verse 5 doesn't say, "Let the foolish hear and increase in learning." No, it says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." Even the wisest of men We need to hear and increase in learning as to how to live godly lives. Case in point, Solomon. If you know the story of Solomon, you know where the trajectory of his life leads him. He makes shipwreck of his life. We started the sermon off saying, hey, we should listen. We should listen to this text because it's written by Solomon and God grants him wisdom. But if we continue to follow the trajectory of Solomon's life, he begins, the wisest man on earth begins to receive outside wisdom. And I'm sure he didn't intentionally do this. He didn't completely denounce belief in Yahweh either. But outside wisdom began to slowly creep in, something like this. I know Yahweh says this, but what about the other gods, Chemosh and Moloch? Maybe they have something to offer me too. Maybe they have wisdom that I can learn from. And from that point on, in 1 Kings 11, we begin to see Solomon's demise. In seeking out other sources of wisdom, he failed to increase in learning from the God of all wisdom. Where do you tend to seek outside wisdom? I know Scripture teaches that everything I have belongs to the Lord, but the world tells me that my money is mine and that it's hard earned. So I think I'm going to spend it however I want rather than how the Lord would have me spend it. Maybe it goes something like that. I know the Bible says not to get drunk, but my friends are saying that this is going to be a good time. And so I think I'm going to go have the good time. Letting outside wisdom creep in. I know God says to be slow to anger, but I've heard that it's good for my mental health to let off steam. As soon as we begin to let other forms of worldly wisdom speak into our lives, we begin to not increase in wisdom, but set down a path of demise like Solomon. So if you find yourself receiving outside wisdom, turn from that. Repent of that. Look to the Lord. I need that for my own heart. Every time worldly wisdom creaks in, I need to be aware of that and remember that this isn't what's best for me, but I should increase in wisdom, and wisdom comes from the Lord. When we go back to the Creator, the only wise God, we're headed down a path of increased learning to live skilled lives in God's world. On the increased learning, just wanted to make a note of what's said about Jesus in Luke 2:52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, the God of all wisdom, is increasing in wisdom as he grows. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That he became to us wisdom from God. And so look to Christ. And wherever you are in life, increase in learning. Kids and students, here's another word for you. Your minds are ready and primed to increase in learning. To increase in wisdom. And so work hard to read Scripture. Work hard to memorize Scripture. Ask your parents to read and memorize Scripture with you. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And so as you grow, study God's word. Look to him for wisdom. Verse 5 also shows us that part of increasing in learning means obtaining guidance. Being willing to obtain guidance from other people. Being teachable. Being willing to receive good godly counsel. Whether you're 6 or 96, be willing to be taught and increase in learning from your family, from your church family, and ultimately from God's word. Never think that you've lived enough life to not need guidance. It's called pride. I think we covered that in a sermon last week, didn't we? Instead, a wise and a humble heart looks for biblical guidance from those that fear the Lord. And so do that. Look for wisdom. Obtain guidance and counsel from other God-fearing Christians in your church family. Let's keep going, verse 6. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. There's a bit of repetition here, like I said at the beginning. But when we fear the Lord and when we gain wisdom, we can then understand counsel. It's only at that point, when we fear the Lord and gain wisdom, that we can understand what good counsel is and who it is that is offering good godly wisdom. We're able to know what wise counsel is, see who fears the Lord and who does not. So that's what verse 6 is helping us see. But as we see who fears the Lord, that leads us to verse 7, which is the main point of this. It's the main point of the sermon. Before I read that, though, I just want to sum up this series of purpose statements. Verses 2 through 6, we can go back to the part of our main point, that the purpose of the Proverbs is to equip the believer, to equip you with skills to live wisely in the world that God has created. So how do we read the Proverbs? Well, we want to read them with the purpose statements in mind. But I think verse 7 will help us. Before I read it, though, when I say Roll Tide, you automatically think Alabama football. That was for you, Miss Mary Frances. Did it just for you. When I say eat more chicken, you think Chick-fil-A. When I say the ultimate driving machine, those of you who work for BMW think BMW. The rest of us think something else. Just kidding. In a similar way, when you open the book of Proverbs, I want you to automatically think, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you think Proverbs, think verse 7. I'm going to go as far as to say that verse 7 helps us not only understand the main point of this sermon today, but it helps us understand the main point of the book as a whole. If you miss verse 7, you miss the book of Proverbs. Verse 7 is the key to unlocking the gold mine of wisdom that Proverbs has to offer. Let's revisit the main point. Remember, you will only live wisely in this world when what? You fear the Creator of it. Fearing the Lord is the key. Apart from fearing the Lord, there is no wisdom. I don't care how many times you read the Proverbs. You can read the Proverbs every day, and if you miss Proverbs 1:7, you'll live a life of foolishness. So what does this mean? Fear of the Lord is a tricky idea. I think we often go to this idea of terror when we think fear. I'm scared of something. But that's not what this means. When you hear fear, don't think terror. Instead, think this: eyes open, mouth wide open, in awe of God, amazed at who He is, trusting in Him alone to provide the wisdom that you need. It's loving Him and looking to Him, the Creator, and saying, I'm not going to try to put my life together all by myself, but I'm going to look to You and follow Your instruction manual for life. That's what fearing the Lord looks like. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's no such thing as truly understanding the Proverbs apart from it. Let's look at a couple examples in the Proverbs to help us understand what I mean by this, that verse 7 is the key to unlocking this gold mine of wisdom. We'll start first with one that Pastor Donald mentioned last week in Proverbs chapter 6, okay? So you have the work ethic of the ant. The work ethic of the ant isn't ultimately what gets the sluggard out of bed. Not ultimately. The fear of the Lord is what gets the sluggard out of bed. In order to live wisely and well in God's world, I must work hard for Him. He's designed me to work, and so I'm going to get out of bed, or I'm going to get off the couch today, and I'm going to work like the ant, because I want to bring the Lord the honor that He is due. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sure, you don't want to stir up anger. Nobody wants that. But A fear of the Lord says this, okay, God is not harsh with me. And so in every way, he's worthy of a soft answer here. I'm going to fear him and answer softly and pray that anger isn't stirred up here. Wrath isn't stirred up here. He's worthy of my soft answer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 17:22. This one's helpful. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. No one wants dried up bones. No one wants to be miserable in life. Nobody does. But where does the medicine come from? It comes from a joyful heart that's fearing the Lord and trusting in his care and provision, no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I hope you see how valuable Proverbs 1:7 is to understanding the book of Proverbs as a whole. Maybe you ask at times, why do I keep making foolish decisions? I just keep doing it. Because fearing the Lord isn't before your eyes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear the Lord. Follow his path. And things will go well for you, generally. There's a general principle in the book of Proverbs, brought out in the second half of verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a contrast throughout the entire book of Proverbs. You have the wise and you have the fool. The wise man goes to the instruction manual, fears the Lord, and what? They increase in wisdom and knowledge. The foolish man maybe even acknowledges God and that the instruction manual exists, and yet they chart their own path, despising wisdom and despising instruction. If you chart your own path, it's very likely that things aren't going to go well for you. That's a theme that's laid out in the book of Proverbs. Kids in the room, keep coming back to you, because there's so many applications for you in the book of Proverbs. If you sneak a bunch of extra candy when you're not supposed to, you're going to feel sick the next morning or that day. All of that's for you too. Reese's is not a nutritional breakfast. If you stay up later than you're supposed to playing video games, guys, you're going to be tired the next morning. Just that, it's just simple. You're going to be tired. Things probably aren't going to go well for you when you have to get up and do your school. I like to say it this way to my kids. When you rebel, things don't go well. And that's for all of us. When you rebel, things don't go well. Receive instruction from God's word. Kids, receive instruction from your parents, especially if your parents fear the Lord. They know what's best for you. Here's a more serious illustration for all of us here. We all know the 7-foot basketball star Shaq, right? In some recent interviews, he's opened up about past adulterous relationships. And here's what he says. Here's how he's talking about it now, years later. He says, I was an idiot. And I've talked about it a long time. I lost my whole family. I'm in a 100,000 square foot house by myself. Quote. I'm sure that in the moment, Shaq thought, hey, this is great. I'm going to chart my own path. This is what's best for me. This is what's best for me, not my wife. This doesn't involve my kids, but what happens? When we rebel, things don't go well. That even applies to somebody like Shaq. That even applies to you and me. The foolish man charts his own path, and it so often leads to pain. 100,000 square foot house, all by myself. He's miserable. The Proverbs aren't always promises, but they're the general rule that when you rebel, you'll remember it after the sermon, things won't go well. But it may be, just to push in that point of it being the general rule, it may be times when you respond with a soft anger and someone's still wrathful toward you or angry toward you. It may be that a soft answer from time to time doesn't turn away wrath. But the general rule is that it will. And that's what the Proverbs is about. These two clear paths pictured. The wise versus the fool. The wise person fears the Lord, increases in learning and in wisdom, and things generally go well for them. Doesn't mean that there's not suffering and difficulty, but things generally go well. While the foolish person, things generally go very poorly. To close, to wrap things up here, I want to provide a loving warning here. This is helpful for me. No one wakes up and says, "Yay, I'm going to be a fool today. Yes, I want to bring myself a lot of heartache today." No one says that. I think of Romans 1, when speaking of the ungodly, it says, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. The world doesn't claim to be fools doing foolish stuff. No, the world claims to be wise doing foolish stuff. And yet when we look to God's instruction manual for life, we find that selfishly charting our own path and putting ourselves first is foolish. The only way to live wisely in God's world is to fear the Lord. But this is foolishness to the world to say this. For us to say, fear the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. This is foolish to the world. I briefly referenced 1 Corinthians 1 in passing, of Christ being wisdom and power, the wisdom and power of God. And that same text says in verse 26, it says, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to world standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." 1 Corinthians 1:26. The gospel is foolishness according to world standards. Jesus wasn't an earthly king. Jesus wasn't rich. Wisdom certainly doesn't result in a humiliating crucifixion death. But God chose what is foolish to the world to shame the wise. Jesus died for your foolishness. Jesus died for my foolishness, so that by fearing him, we could be brought back into relationship with God and learn to live wisely in his world. He alone is your salvation. He alone is your wisdom. Again, right here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing." The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but the next part is key. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Jesus became to us wisdom from God. So apart from him, there is no wisdom at all. Fear him. Submit to his word for wise living. Don't submit to the world. In John Bunyan's classic, Pilgrim's Progress, he's on this journey to the celestial city. I've used this illustration before, but a different portion of it. He's on his journey to the celestial city, and one of the first people that he comes across is a man named Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Mr. Worldly Wiseman advises Christian to shed the burden quickly. It's too hard to carry it. Don't go down that path to the celestial city. It's too hard. Go back where you came from. It's easier. That's a summary of his counsel there. And he follows it. After hearing the advice, Bunyan writes that Christian turned out of his way. It's no surprise that a couple pages later, though, Christian experiences pain. When you rebel, things don't go well. He experiences pain and sets back on the difficult yet rewarding journey that he really originally set out on to the celestial city. And Bunyan writes that Christian was greatly ashamed to think that this gentleman's arguments, flowing only from the flesh, flowing only from worldly wisdom, should have the prevalency with him as to cause him to forsake the right way, the path of life, the wise path. This then he applied himself to the evangelists in words and sense. Church family, be warned of the counsel of the world. Read the Proverbs to know true wisdom and where it comes from when you face difficulty in life. Don't try to set up the furniture of your life without first committing yourselves to the instructions given to you by the Creator. Remember this. You will only live wisely in this world when you fear the Creator of it. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you for the practical nature of it. The book of Proverbs is so practical, giving us wisdom for how to live skilled lives in your world. But Lord, I'm the first to admit that so often I'm a fool. I do foolish things. I receive and obtain worldly wisdom. I'm selfish. I'm prideful. I don't always receive the instruction I need. And so, Father, give us the grace, give me the grace to humbly receive your word and your wisdom. This is the only way to be wise. This is the only way to be skilled. Lord, we know that to the world this is foolishness. But we praise you for Christ. And it's in him that we can obtain salvation, and our salvation gives us power and wisdom, all coming from you. Grow our church in wisdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.